The NBA Players Association gathered yesterday to elect its new director. You would think that would be a relatively straightforward assignment. Guys get together, guys vote, and away we go. But the decision itself was fraught with internal politicking. There was a concern on the part of some players that agents would hijack the process or tried to hijack the process. In the end, Michelle Roberts was elected as executive director. She becomes the first female to be elected to the highest position of the Major Sports Players Association. She, of course, joins Donald Fehr and Tony Clark now, among others, as labor union leaders. Jeff Silgett of USA Today joins us to talk about the decision. Jeff, thanks so much for doing this. How revolutionary is this?
Michelle Roberts' name first came up in February at the All-Star Game. She was zeroed in on as a candidate, half a year ago, and maybe even before then. And at the time, though, in February, there was complaint from players and agents that the players' executive committee just didn't have enough time to give this the consideration it needs. Some candidates were interviewing with all the players. Some candidates were only interviewing with a few of the players. I mean, they're in season. It was difficult to get that done. So they slowed the process down, had Kevin Johnson's group get involved, and Michelle Roberts' name came up again as one of the top candidates. And so that's where we are. A little bit, Jeff, I didn't hear all of your intro into this. She's recognized as one of a top white-collar trial lawyers. She worked for a prestigious law firm, Skadden Arps, worldwide firm, large firm. She's based in Washington, D.C. And, by all accounts, at least in terms of, her credentials, it looks very good. Now, as you were alluding to, I think there's concern from agents, from other players, that she doesn't have, one, enough of a labor background, or two, enough of a sports background to be able to push through some of the things that the players union wants. We'll see what happens from here. I have my own feelings, Jeff, on the NBA players union, when they went from having 57% of basketball related income to 50% in the last collective bargaining agreement. I don't see that changing too much. Mm-hmm. And so some of the issues that they're going to fight on, maybe the players can, finagle another percentage point or two out of that basketball-related income. But the biggest thing is, and I hear this from some agents, is how can the players' union help the NBA grow the pot? That's the key phrase they're seeing right now. How can we put more into that so that there's a bigger pile of that 50% for players to have? And I think those will be some of the key issues moving forward.
It seems to me, Jeff, that just doing some reading on Michelle Roberts, that it's almost as if the players have decided to go with somebody who is, this is going to be really simplistic, but it's almost as if they're picking somebody who will have their back. And my sense is that the things you talked about, growing the game and all that, that's probably going to come more from players themselves, from an involvement with on the part of LeBron James and people like that. But what they really want is somebody who has their back, and somebody, unlike Billy Hunter, somebody that they may not necessarily think was a little bit of a, I don't know, I think a lot of people looked at Billy Hunter's and sometimes as being a sort of an extension of the commissioner's office, whereas this is a legal mind that will be there to have their back as they address these other issues.
Yeah, I see a large part of that. And the other thing, Jeff, I think along the same lines, is maybe someone who, when it came for a collective bargaining agreement with Billy Hunter, it seems things were always so contentious. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. That's part of a labor agreement in any between management and labor, no matter, you know, what occupation we're talking about, that happens. But the in-between period, I think, is really, you know, where, you know, Billy sort of went off to the side. There wasn't much union involvement. I think those key years in between are just as important when we're sitting here talking about some of the things, you know, whether it's increasing, you know, the licensing checks, or, you know, what can we do to, you know, help you get a better TV deal, which is going to put more money in the pot. You know, what can we do about some of the other off-season things that, you know, can make us money? And I think that in relationship in between collective bargaining agreements is, you know, one major factor that the players are looking for help in. You know, can someone work on a regular basis with Adam Silver to, you know, help the game? And I'm not sure Billy Hunter always, you know, had that MO. I don't know in the in-between collective bargaining agreements, you know, how much Billy worked with David Stern. There's a new era in the NBA with Adam Silver. There's a new one here with the players union. And I think the players are willing to give this a shot and see what happens. By all accounts, Jeff, I think a lot of people believe that there will be some kind of lockout when either the players or the league can opt out of that agreement after the 2016-17 season. How that's handled will go a long way in determining, you know, Michelle Roberts' future with the Players Association as well.
Jeff Silgood of USA Today joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. We have sort of operated under the assumption since the Donald Sterling situation started that LeBron James had sort of, I was going to say quietly, but not really quietly, but that he'd really emerged as one of the game's power brokers. Maybe publicly emerged as one of the game's power brokers. What role did he play in this, and what role does he play in the NBA Players Association going forward?
Well, Jeff, let's go back just about a year from this point. A year ago, around right now, is that LeBron James was seriously considering running for union president's job, which is a role that Chris Paul of the Clippers has right now. LeBron's interested in union matters. I believe over the course of the past 12 months, his interest continues to grow, not only being a voice of the players, but also being involved with union matters. He does not have an official role, but let's look at it. James Jones, his Heat teammate, now his Cleveland Cavaliers teammate, is the secretary treasurer. Chris Paul is his good friend. Roger Mason, who is the first vice president, spent a portion of this season or this past season with the Miami Heat. He's got a voice to the players union, and of all the players playing in the NBA today, I would say that he probably has the easiest direct line to Adam Silver's office as anyone as well. And so when he speaks, the players union, the players listen, and the league's front office, from Adam Silver on down, listens to what LeBron James has to say. It's a powerful voice right now. And not only about the Clippers, Jeff, but I think LeBron took a step in the right direction for the players. I think he took this very seriously when he signed a two-year deal with Cleveland. LeBron James has never been the highest-paid player. He was the highest-paid player on his team with Chris Bosh last season, but he's never been solely the highest paid player on his team. And he's really looking to change that and look out for the benefit of the players. I think the union had something to do with that in encouraging LeBron to find out what are the ways he can maximize his salary. And in turn, that's also going to maximize the players below him. I don't know how much more we're going to see of major superstars, you know, taking drastic pay cuts in the prime of their career to go play somewhere based on what LeBron did. And so I think, you know, there's multiple things that he is doing, you know, from, you know, a social standpoint, from playing on the court to having the commissioner's ear when he needs it to help the game and help his fellow players.